Let me ask you, can you remember those great moments in history, your personal history, where God has worked mightily on your behalf? Well, what have you done to remember those moments? And do you share those moments with your children and your children's children? These are questions we are asking today and finding answers in Joshua chapter 4, lest we forget. You see, God is all about remembering, and that's what we're doing today, remembering. With today's broadcast of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon in Joshua chapter 4.
Well, I invite you to turn this morning to Joshua chapter 4. If you're a visitor, we have started this book, and today we come to chapter 4. Last time in chapter 3, they crossed over the Jordan River, and now we're looking at, in chapters 4 and 5, some very crucial events. You'll notice here that we sort of have a reversal, whereas we're going to end this conclusion to a conclusion where Joshua has a burning bush experience. So we'll see burning bush moment, Passover, passing through. It's almost a reversal to bring to a close the whole story from where Moses was called, remember, and the burning bush event. And then this brings a giant conclusion to all of this. So we're seeing that all unfold. All the themes come together here, which only the Lord could inspire and do, by the way. No one could make this up. So it makes it nice to see the unity of Scripture and how it nicely holds together by the Spirit. Joshua chapter 4 this morning. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan. And from the very place where the priest's foot stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight." And Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, 'What do those stones mean to you?' then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste. And when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And when the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed its banks as before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, When your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you fear the Lord your God forever. And there we'll end the reading of God's word. Well, we have been increasingly worried in the church today about keeping our children in the faith. That has been an incessant concern and worry for us, and it's a big one. It's a big concern. According to research, all Protestant churches are declaring that they are shrinking from within. Reports are that between ages 18 to 22, 66% of young adults have left the church. Which means, of course, that only 34%, now listen to this, 34% of young adults say they attend church twice a month or more. That's where we are. How do we get here? I mean, anyway, you can't really start to fix the problem until you ask how you get here and then what the solution and plan looks like to fix such a problem. It's a crisis of epic proportions. Well, it should encourage you this morning that God is also very concerned about this problem and that this problem is nothing new. This is an age-old problem in the community of faith, and we have to kind of understand it, diagnose it, and look at it and wrestle with it as to why such levels of departure and apostasy become prevalent in a community of faith. And this morning, that's where we are in the book of Joshua. That's why this book is so incredibly helpful in one respect, because it's cleanup time. Sure, we're going to see more failure. But the beginnings of the book of Joshua show what renewal really looks like. I prayed this way, and I hope you caught it, that there have been certain things that have been put in place. Notice the renewal that's come about when a community of faith is being blessed by God in unique ways. We all say we're blessed. Here's what true blessing looks like, spiritual blessing. The word is heard. The promises are proclaimed. And the people respond to it. They wouldn't miss church. And then leadership steps up. It's really remarkable how all these men are stepping up to lead. And then God does surprising things to test the community. He puts people in to shake them up like Rahab the whore, who shows faith. He puts them right in the midst of a covenant community that's been rather dead. And then he renews his covenant. And he takes direct aim at the children of the covenant. That parents would start taking that seriously again. The sign and the instruction, which usually dumped in times of departure. So that's where we've been. This is what we're seeing in Joshua unfold before us. And now we come to this really great moment of the children being addressed. God's emphasis in 4 and 5 on the children of the covenant. And this morning, I believe we come to one of the great answers of the dilemma of our day. There's nothing new under the sun, and it's the same sort of solution that has always been given. And it kind of overwhelmed me in this particular chapter, if you notice, how much attention God gives to the children. God loves our children. Do we love our children? What does that look like? And this is what we see, because in the next section, we're going to have a great circumcision take place of all of the new generation whom the former generation didn't even care to administer the sign. So here we are this morning. The question of spiritual commitment and the state of the people is before us. And God is beginning to rectify and solve this great problem in the covenant community. It's really beautiful. I love studying this because it really is a help to us to wake up people. And this is what is set. God is calling Israel today to one, and this is the big theme that is sort of interwoven through this great passage, to great remembrance of his works. He's calling Israel to great remembrance of his works, which really is a call to faith here on the part of the Lord to the people. But it's a crucial covenant responsibility that is being emphasized. It's a covenantal responsibility, an important one. And that's what we see here, that God cared very much that the future generations would be preserved in the faith. It's a beautiful thing. God cared very much that the future generations would be preserved in the faith. And this is, in this way, God was putting something in place to keep them in love and in trust of the Lord. So I want you to notice this morning, if you're those who are inclined to take notes, you're going to notice that a memorial is established. And then you're going to see here that a memorial is called to be celebrated and understood. And then it is something that we'll end with that was meant and intended to be a memorial forever. So these are important themes that are woven into this section. You remember this wonderful scene. Israel has crossed over the Jordan. We had the sort of quick narrative of that, and now we look at the actual coming back to it, the details as they cross through. They've entered now the promised land. This is a long time in coming. This is the fulfillment of the promise that was made all the way back to Abraham. Remember back in Genesis chapter 15 when the covenant was cut. I'm going to give your people inheritance in the land. And the events that coincide with the crossing are some of the most important for us to understand how faith is preserved for future generations. In verse 1, we read that all the nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, and the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones out of here, of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet firmly stood, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.'" These must have been strong men. Who are the strong men among us? How much weight could you pick up and carry a big stone out of the Jordan? Did you get 100 pounds on your shoulder? The strongest men of Israel come among them. They are selected, and they go in the midst of the Jordan, and they pick up boulders. And these stones were intended to be set up forever. Notice there, they are still there to this day, it says, so that the people would have a constant memorial of the deliverance. Now, it's really powerful that God cares to give us memorials. It's a big theme in Scripture. Verse 6 says very plainly, "This is a sign for you that you are always to see and that you are to look at and to understand and believe something." And what is it? Well, here it is. He says it. When your children come in time and they ask, "What do these stones mean to you?" the parents are to say to their children, "You shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people a memorial forever." And notice what they were to say. "The waters were split before the ark." In other words, parents, you tell your children, "God came down and God walked with us through the Jordan, and his presence was with us the whole way. And him being a God who is near to his people, God who's always dwelled with us, as soon as the priest's foot touched the water, the water went straight back because the presence of the Lord was with us. And he delivered us. And he fulfilled his promise." Now, this is important. The new generation had just witnessed the waters cut off, God going in their midst. And then, in the next breath, what is the next thing that happens? This figure named Yeshua rises up among them as a warrior to lead Israel to receive the land. All kinds of things are happening here. What's God concerned with? Remembering, beloved. Remembering. How do you forget? That's sort of the question you have to ask. How do you forget this? This was always Israel's great problem. Psalm 78. But they soon forgot his works. How? Psalm 106:13. They did not. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. Psalm 78. They forgot his works and the wonders he had shown them. Those are remarkable statements. The very generation. Now think about this. The very generation that saw the Red Sea split forgot. And every time they forgot his works, it was when some hardship or test of their faith came upon them and they couldn't see the deliverance at the present. Don't we think that our faith would be all the more vibrant if we could really see a lot much more today? Really? Don't you think if God did something like this, put up some kind of big stone memorial that we could walk to? You know? And look, there was great, 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 great grandpa who carried that boulder and put it there. We would believe. Right? What do we keep seeing in Israel? The very generation that saw the signs forgot. And the spillover was that the next generation was led into further and further apostasy. So what does God do? God sets up another memorial. For what purpose? Well, I think we struggle a little bit with remembering. Remembering is not the idea of just simply recalling something. And for the Hebrews, remembering was a deep spiritual concept. It was a concept that meant it was deep spiritual reflection and concern that was meant to well up in them great concern for their deliverance of the one who had done this for them, that would well up in them love for God, response to God, belief in God. The God of heaven and earth. I mean, think of Rahab. I know that the Lord is the God of heaven and earth, and that he delivered you. She didn't even see it. Remember what the Lord said to Israel? He gave a call. Israel, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. When he said that, you know what happened right after? You know what he said right after that? You shall diligently teach this to your children. My word shall be in your hearts. Teach your children this when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. And when you lie down at night and when you get up in the mornings, there's your pattern. Because he's giving you the land. So I want you to worship him and serve him only. You're going to get plagued with all kinds of things to pull you away from this, all other false gods. Now you'll notice the timing here for a minute. This was in direct connection with the Passover. The Lord had said the same thing to the previous generations. Now, the reason they forgot is because they did not take the memorial that God had set up and deeply by faith embrace it and reflect on its meaning so as to change them and follow in life by faith. They didn't do that with the memorial. And the consequence was seen in that generation. Now we're getting to the heart of the problem of the first generation coming out. The consequence was seen, lo and behold, in their children. Here they are, not circumcised, not trained. And who's getting them? God is. This is such an important point. This is really an important point. We can be of Israel and have seen great things, but have not appropriated the memorial that God has set up. And so that, as one author says, we don't give any living reflection to this. It doesn't move us to talk about the Lord, to deeply trust the Lord who's delivered us. And when it's not constantly set before us, the memorial, that apathy will most showcase itself in that we as parents never talk about the Lord to our children. And we never talk about His love. And we do not talk about His gospel. We have no living reflection on this. No remembering. Embracing it. And thus we're not passing on the faith. Now hear me, I'm not saying there's an automatic connection here that parents could do really well in this and their children could rebel. There's not an automatic in this. What I'm saying is that in general, this is the rule. That those children who respond to the gospel in this life, and we're not just trying to create nice kids. We're not just trying to create respectful kids. We're trying to lead our children to faith. What we generally see is, in those children who respond to the gospel, is that witness began in the home. And that there was deep commitment and faith by parents to lead their children to the memorial and the worship of the Lord. Not just nice children, it's not what we're after. Yes, you can pass on generational apathy. You can pass on generational deadness. Indifference to all this. Because that's what's been taught. And remembrance means nothing. Only following the tradition of the fathers is what matters. The Lord cares about this. That's what's so encouraging here. There's really good news here. The Lord is recovering. And how is He doing it? The Lord wanted not a pilgrimage to stones every year. As helpful as that might have been. But for the parents in their homes to say to their children, children, the Lord is with us. He's always been with us. This really happened. He delivered us and our fathers and our people. And you have a Passover to declare it.
Well, this has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. And our time together studying God's Word, it is our hope and prayer you come away from our time together encouraged in that time of study. If you have questions or comments about the radio program, your own walk with Christ, we would love to hear from you. Now, you can reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Again, that's agradio.org. You'll find past programs that you can review at your convenience, as well as other platforms you can sign up and follow us on, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Those links are all, again, at our website, agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach out to us by phone. That number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry. Simply put, you are a vital, important cog in this wheel of ministry, if you will. Through your financial and prayerful support, we are able to continue this radio ministry here on the station you're listening to right now. Would you prayerfully consider getting involved financially, and most importantly, prayerfully? And then let us know. Again, you can give us a call at 888-504-8805 or visit agradio.org and drop us a note there. And then come back and join us next time as our studies will continue here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.